عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So we're going to continue with Surah Al-Ra'd, and tonight we will reflect on verse number 16, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المقصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل من رب السماوات والأرض؟ قل الله. قل أفاتخذتم من دونه أولياء لا يملكون لأنفسهم نفعا ولا ضرا. قل هل يستوي الأعمى والبصير أم هل تستوي الظلمات والنور أم جعلوا لله شركاء خلقوا كخلقه فتشابه الخلق عليهم قل الله خالق كل شيء وهو الواحد القهار. صدق الله العلي العظيم. When we study the details of monotheism, علم التوحيد, we find that there are two traditions, two schools of thought. One school believes in God as only creator. They believe He is the creator of the universe. He is the creator of the heaven and earth. But His job and His role ends there. He just created. And then He leaves the creatures alone. He does not interfere in their life. He has no influence on them. And people have complete free will without the interference of God. His role is just to create. The other school believes that God is not only creator. God is also nurturer. So they don't only believe in khaliqiyya, the creativity, the power of a creation of God, but also they believe in the rububiyya, God's nurturance and God's lordship. Rububiyya means lordship. What does lordship mean? Lordship means when you raise someone, the job of the mother is two. One, besides cooking food, of course. One is to deliver the baby. She brings the baby into this life. Delivery, labor. The second, her job is not going to end there with delivering the baby. Her job is going to continue into raising this baby, feeding this baby, teaching this baby, taking care of this baby. So she is murabbi also. A nurturer. Nurturer. We believe that God has both roles. Khaliqiyya and Rububiyya. He's a creator, but also He's nurturer. We need Him all the time. His role did not end when He created us. And then He tossed us here into this life. And He said, you are by yourself. He didn't say this. He said, I'm going to be with you. Throughout your life, I'm going to be with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. Whether you are at home, whether you are traveling, whether you are in the desert, at sea, in the sky, I'm going to be yours. I'm going to be with you. I am Rabb. Rabb means I am a nurturer. I'm a supervisor. I'm a caretaker. I take care of you. إلهي إن لم تبتدئني الرحمة منك بحسن التوفيق فمن السالك بإليك في واضح الطريق. وإن أسلمتني أناتك لقائد الأمل والمنى فمن المقيل عثراتي من كبوات الهوى وإن خذلني نصرك عند محاربة النفس والشيطان فقد وكلني خذلانك إلى حيث النصب والحرمان. If you don't hold my hand, who's going to hold my hand? Even my mother is not going to continue her journey with me. Even my father is not going to be always with me. If you don't guide me, who's going to guide me? If you don't watch over me, who's going to watch over me? I need you throughout my life. Not only when I'm an infant, not only when I'm a child. I need you during my adulthood, when I get old. I need you even when I am powerful. I need you even when I am able to do my things. I need you even when I am able to take care of myself. I still need you. So the divine grace in Islamic philosophy is called al-faydul ilahi, faith. Divine grace, divine support, divine care does not end. This is why we need to be with God. Not just during the month of Ramadan, not just during Friday, not only Thursday night. Throughout our time, throughout our life, every day we need God. Every week we need Him. Every month we need Him. Every occasion we need Him. Every morning, every evening. We need God. Because He's the Rabb, Rububiyyah. He's the caretaker. He's the nurturer. Allahu Rabbukum. It's more than a creation. Khaliq is a creator. But Rabb is nurturer. And then relationship between the nurturer and the nurtured does not stop, does not cease. It's a continuous relationship. Continuously we need God. Every moment of my life and your life, we need God. Every moment. There should be no disconnection. Have you been to some societies and some countries and cities where they have blackout? Light goes off. No light. Darkness. Everything stops. I was leaving one of the countries while the immigration officer was stamping my passport and putting the information into the computer. It was dark. Blackout. So I had to stand there in darkness. And she didn't know what to do, whether to bring me back or leave me. To leave the country. I was stuck there at the border because the computer is not working. We cannot afford a blackout with God because our life is going to be in disarray. Our life is going to be shattered. Without God's presence in our life, there is no peace. There is no stability. There is constant anxiety and constant fear when you don't have God in your life. So God's job and role is a nurturer. He's a nurturer. He's Rabb. He's a caretaker. He's someone who provides you every second, every instance of your life, you receive the provision from Him. Provision from Him. Don't disconnect with God. Trust me, God is the best friend. God is the best companion. A time would come that no one will pay attention to us anymore. No one will bother to call us and check on us except God. God is a loyal friend, loyal companion, that He would never turn His back to us. قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. God is asking Prophet Muhammad, say to your community, say to them, who is the Lord of the heaven and the earth? And then God answers Himself. He's not waiting for them to answer, because the answer is very self-evident, doesn't need to think. It's very obvious, intuitive. The answer is very direct. God answers himself. قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Who's the Lord of the heaven and the earth? قُلِ اللَّهِ We don't need them to answer because this is something obvious. There is no caretaker in this universe other than him. These deities that they worship, they are useless. They are useless. قُلِ اللَّهِ قُلْ أَفَتَّخَذْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءِ Say to them, Ya Rasulallah, say to them, have you taken apart from him protectors and guardians and leaders who has no power over what benefit or harm them, let alone others? These deities that you are worshipping other than God, they cannot even help themselves. If they get demolished, they cannot restore themselves. I said one time to a community who used to worship an idol. Some people call it Buddha, some people call it other names. And that the rain came and part of this idol, this sanam, was destroyed. So I said, if this is the Lord that you worship and you ask him for help, let him restore himself. Restore his head, because his head was broken in half, you know. Part of the head is gone. Let him fix his head. You are calling upon things that they have no power, no, neither benefit nor harm for themselves, let alone others. They cannot respond to you. قُلْ أَفَتَّخَذْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرَّ Now, my friends, there is a question here. And I mentioned this question many times. But because the question is important, we will address it again. How about if I say, O Prophet Muhammad, help me? Is this belief or disbelief? Is this iman, faith, or shirk, association with God? Disbelief in God. Saying, Ya Muhammad, is an act of faith. If you believe Muhammad is not acting by himself, he's acting on behalf of whom? On behalf of God. Because he's the messenger of God. Otherwise, if you call upon him thinking that he's independent, this is an act, that would be an act of disbelief in God. Muhammad cannot help you without the permission of God, without the help of God. He cannot help himself, let alone you or me. But God says it is okay to call upon him, believing that he's with God, he's for God, he's a channel that takes you to God. He's a passage, a path, a way, means to God. Not other than God, but to God, with God's permission. One day, Al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam, the sixth Imam, he was sitting, dining with Imam Abu Hanifa, the Imam of the Hanafi tradition. So when they finished food, Imam al-Sadiq said, Alhamdulillah, Allahumma hada min indika wa min indi nabiyik. What we ate today is from you, provision from you and from your prophet. Abu Hanifa said to him, what are you saying? This is shirk. You are saying this food from God and his prophet? This is not right. Imam al-Sadiq turned to him, he said to him, Abu Hanifa, don't you read the Quran? He says, yes, I read the Quran. He said, but God says the same in his book, in chapter 9. وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ Chapter 9 is Surah At-Tawbah, repentance, chapter number 9. Twice God says that I feed and the Prophet feeds you. I give a provision and the Prophet gives provision. وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ أَغْنَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ God enriched them and the prophet out of their bounties, not just God. In another verse in the same chapter, Surah At-Tawbah, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ رَضُوا مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ سَيُؤْتِينَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. See how many times God repeats the same sentence? That God is going to provide you out of His and His prophet's provision. Not just Him. Why? Because the Prophet Muhammad acts on behalf of whom? On behalf of God. Not on behalf of himself as a human being. He's not a lord. He's the slave of the Lord. He's the servant of the Lord. In another verse, God says in the Quran, you are the sustainer. You as a mother, as a father. Who is the sustainer of this universe? God. Razzaq. Sustainer means Razzaq. Razzaq is the one who provides you with sustenance, with food, with care, with health, with everything. So he's God. But God says your father is your sustainer. وَارْزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا. God says to the parents, take care of your children. Give them provision. Be their razzaq. Be their raziq. Give them provision. So I can say about you, if you are a mother, you are razzaq. You are raziq to your children. If you are a father and you have kids, you are taking care of them, you are raziq. And it is not an act of disbelief in God. This is not shirk. This is not heresy. This is what God Himself says in the book. But the ultimate sustainer, provider is God. We are His agents. This is the difference. God is not the agent. God is the main source. We are the agents. We work for Him. We do not work independently from Him. If you think you work independently from God, this is an act of heresy. But if you believe that you work alongside God, you work for God, not against God, not independently from Him, this is an act of belief, and this is mentioned in our book. So Imam al-Sadiq said, Ya Abu Hanifa, you read the Quran, but you don't reflect. This is the problem. If you reflect on the Quran, you will find out that you can say, oh God, I thank you and I thank your prophet for what you have given me. This is not heresy. Then God says here, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ أَمْ هَلْ تَسْتَوِي الظُّلُمَاتُ وَالنُّورُ. Say, Prophet Muhammad, say to your community, are the blind and the seer, seer means the one who sees, equal, or are darkness and light equal? They are not equal. These are metaphors. Metaphors for what? The blind and the seer are metaphor, example for what? For the one who have faith and the one who does not have faith. Light and darkness are metaphor and example for what? Guidance. When someone has GPS, give me a good GPS, updated GPS, and send me anywhere in the world. I can drive as if I am the person, as if I live in that country because I have good GPS. Guidance. This is GPS. God says, if you have this good GPS, Garmin, is it Garmin, the good one? Huh? Who travels? None of you? The phone, yeah. So, the best GPS is this book. Take it anywhere. It can help you. It can guide you. But if you don't have GPS, you are stuck in darkness. God is trying to say that for us to see, what do we need? For me to see you, what do I need? For you to see me, what do you need? You need two things. Huh? Exactly. Vision, a seeing eyes, vision. And the second thing is what? Is light. Because even if I have a strong vision, but it is dark here, I can't see anything. So we need two things. God says the journey for faith requires two things. Number one, a good eye, but not this physical one. The eye is here. It's called inner vision. Inner vision. Basira. This is Ayn. This is Basira. This is Basira. This one is physical eye. This one is what? Spiritual and moral. If you don't have this one, you still can see God. You still can see your way in life. But if you don't have this one, you are stuck. You don't have GPS. You can't move. So God says, number one, you need an inner vision. And number two, you need what? You need light. And what is the light here? It's this book. You need this, and you need this book. You need God's direction. You need God's GPS. You need God's revelation, wahi. This is why we have these books. They give us guidance. These are the roadmaps for our trips. So a believer has both inner vision, basira, and he believes in this book. He's attached to this book. He receives his God's revelation, his God's guidance through the prophet. But the disbeliever has neither one. Neither inner vision, the heart is dead, nor light. He's disconnected from God. And therefore, the disbeliever, you may expect him or her to do any type of crime. Any kind of crime. Today I was reading the newspaper. The Attorney General of New Jersey. He had a press conference. He said, we captured a group of men who go to certain dating apps and they lure girls as young as 14 years old to have a relationship with them. 14 years old. And some of those people who are captured are police officers. One of them is a religious minister. They go to these apps. And then, of course, the detectives, they are posing as young girls. And they make appointment with them. And when they arrive there, he's thinking that he's going to meet someone who's 14, 15 years old. And the undercover police are waiting for them. And he says some of them are police officers. Some of them are religious ministers. Can you imagine? Why this is happening? Because this one here is a blind. When the heart becomes a blind, you expect any type of a crime to happen. Anything to happen in this life. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ أَمْ هَلْ تَسْتَوِي الظُّلُمَاتُ وَالنُّورُ. Darkness and light are not equal. Definitely the one who has light is happier, is more successful. His journey is safe in this life. أَمْ جَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ خَلَقُوا كَخَلْقِهِ فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. God creates, the creator of everything in this universe. وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. He is the one, the irresistible, the paramount in this life. The incapable of being resisted. Now, there is an important sentence in this verse. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. God creates everything in this universe. What does that mean? Again, there is a dispute between Muslim philosophers. Islamic philosophers, when it comes to this verse, they have a dispute, disagreement. They are divided into two schools. One school are called the Mujabbira, the coercionist, people who believe in coercion, people who believe that you have no choice in this life. God create you as you are. No changes are going to happen. From day one, God created this person as a believer. And he is going to continue his entire life up to 90 years as a believer. And then he goes to paradise. They also believe that God created the other one as a disbeliever, and he's going to continue his entire life as a disbeliever, and then he will condemn him to hellfire. You can't do anything about it. You have to accept this, because he's the supreme. But do we accept this idea? We don't accept it. By the way, my friends, the madhab, the school of thought that dominates Saudi Arabia is this, the coercionist. They believe in coercion. They believe that God left you no choice in this life. You are driven by God. Driven by, like a herd of sheep, okay? Driven by the shepherd. So you have no choice. God created the Saudis as Muslims, they're going to go to paradise, and then he created the Indians, Chinese, Americans, Europeans are non-believers, they have to go to hellfire. That's it. I'm not joking here. These are discussions, my discussions with them when I go there. So I asked them then, why someone in Europe, in America, in China, in India, why should he go to hellfire? He says, this is God's choice. Don't argue with me. God is the supreme. I say, but this is against his justice. Then this means God is not just. He says, no. God can do anything, like a father. A father can cherish his son, spoils his son, and he can burn his son. I say, no, burning his son only in Saudi Arabia. In America, these things doesn't happen. You may do that in your country, but not in other places. Didn't they kill 37 innocent people yesterday? They executed them? Innocent people. Only because they asked for some freedom, some democracy, some sense. Only. They killed them in cold blood. So my friends, the other tradition is the tradition of a free will. Yes, there are certain things we have no control over them. But there are many things we have control over them. When it comes to the color of your skin, you don't have control over it. When it comes to your dad and your mother, you had no control over it. They got together, they got married, they created you. You did not choose your father. You didn't say, oh God, I want my father to be from China, my mother from India. This is a good, hybrid child. God would not listen to you. My father was my father, and my mother was my mother, and I had no choice. My date of birth, I had no choice. My place of birth, I had no choice. Even my place of death, we're not going to have a choice. But other things, God says you have choice. Following this path or that path, you have a choice. Being a believer or disbeliever, you have a choice. Being an arrogant person or a humble person, you have a choice. Being obedient or disobedient, you have a choice. I'm not going to coerce you. We have a choice. Because God, why we do not accept coercion? Because God cannot force you to be a disbeliever. And then on the day of judgment, he holds you accountable. He says, why you are a disbeliever? Doesn't make sense. In fact, the reason we have a day of judgment, because we have a freedom of choice. Otherwise, if we don't have a freedom of choice, why there is a day of judgment? God created me disbeliever, so let him send me to hellfire. There is no need for a day of judgment. He already judged me. But because we have day of judgment, we believe in divine justice, that God is just and fair. He's not a dictator. He's not from the royal Saudi family. He's a good God, merciful God. Then he has given us the free choice. He says, listen, I'll give you freedom in this life. I want you to believe in me, definitely. And I will encourage you. I will facilitate that journey for you. I will help you to believe in me. I'll provide you with evidence, with books, with teachers, with guides. But then, at the end of the day, I leave the choice for you. I'm not going to force you to believe in me. Same thing with the disbeliever. God says, I love you to come back to me. I don't want you to stay away from me. But if you insist on rejecting me at the end of the day, I leave it for you to decide. So the coercionist, when they come to this verse, they say, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. It means God creates our a'mal too, our deeds, not just ourselves, but our deeds. They are ready made. God created them and He attached them to us. So we have no choice over them. We tell them, no, you misunderstood the verse. The verse says, Allahu Khaliq, God is the creator of everything. Physically, He's the creator. And then He creates the reason, the intelligence, the eyes. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ. We give Him understanding. We give Him books. We give Him freedom. We give Him dignity. But then we don't create the work for Him. He has to create the work for Himself. And God says in Surah Yasin, إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Today you receive what you worked, not what I worked for you. You did the homework yourself. So we are giving you these blessings and rewards because of your own work. So we have a free will in this life. Margaret, tonight she came to the mosque. She's not a Muslim. Maybe this is her first time in her life. She comes inside the mosque. She had the choice of going somewhere else. But she's studying. She's taking the first step out of a freedom and choice. This is an example. She's American. Neither her father is a Muslim, nor her mother, none of her family. This is an example that God gives you free choice. Even if you are American, European, African, Chinese, still you have intelligence. And you have a freedom of choice. You have aql, you have a brain, you have reason that tells you what is right and what. And God wants you to incorporate your reason to find the right way. The reason is not only to buy the best car and the best house and the best food. Reason is to find the best way in this life. A way that is going to take me ultimately to the hereafter. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat. Wal muslimina wal muslimat. الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات. إن شاء الله the month of Ramadan is going to begin May 6, Monday, إن شاء الله. May 6, you can see the timetable outside. Also, you can download this. Those of you who are tech savvy, please download this at home. And inshallah, we have a program every night, but the iftar only three nights a week. The iftar, where we break the fast, is only three nights this year. Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays. Thursdays, say after me, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays. We have iftar, and 4 days, no iftar. They come to learn. Which is Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. We begin at 9 p.m. 9 p.m. with Dua al-Iftitah. Enjoy the iftar with your family members, with your friends. We want you to spend some quality time with your family at home. Enjoy the Lebanese food, Pakistani food, Afghani food, Iranian food, Iraqi food. And then you come and join us on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays with the iftar. So 3 days we do have iftar, and 4 days we don't have iftar. We have a program every night. The days we don't have iftar, we begin at 9 sharp with Dua al-Iftitah. And then I begin here at 9:20. And before 10 p.m., I promise you, we finish. The days we have iftar, which is 3 days, we begin at sunset, inshallah, with Salatul Maghrib and Isha, Iftar, Dua al-Iftitah, and the lecture. I ask you to join me and recite Surah Al-Fatiha for the soul of Mrs. Roshan Ali, the mother-in-law of Tanweer Daya. Today is her, the 40th of her departure. إلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.